Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
WeatherTech, maker of floor mats and floor liners to protect a vehicle's interior from dirt, mud, and sand. Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Subaru,
where all vehicles are built in zero landfill plants.
Love, it's what makes a Subaru. And
the Pajamagram Company, offering matching holiday PJs for the entire family at Pajamagram.com. Welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Old Dogs Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, old dogs as in new tricks. You might remember that a couple of weeks ago, we got a call from a guy named John. He had an older employee named Steve. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The problem was that Steve was a clutch wrecker. He was tearing through clutches on one of John's trucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember him?
I do. So John told us that I guess Steve was on the clutch a week plan.
Yeah, that's it. So,
but then he put Steve on the phone, and we talked to Steve about, you know, the whole idea of using less gas and letting the clutch out faster. And Steve said he would change his ways, and he'd turn over a new leaf.
Well, we got this follow-up email from John the next day. Shall I read it to you?
Sure, go ahead.
I just received an excited and confused call from my employee, Steve. I don't fully understand what happened, as I wasn't there, but I'll give you the sequence of events as I understand it. It was 8 o'clock on the very night you guys talked to him, and it was rainy and wet and dark, and Steve was going out to get a milkshake. He was backing out of the driveway and concentrating on the art of proper clutching.
Good boy.
Instead of his usual get the truck up to 3,500 RPMs and let the clutch out 1/16th of an inch at a time, he was trying to keep the RPMs low and let the clutch out more quickly.
That's exactly what we had suggested he do, right?
Yeah. He was concentrating so hard on this technique that he neglected to look into his rearview mirror, and he didn't notice that his neighbor had parked right behind him in the driveway. So he slams on the brakes just in time, narrowly avoiding running into his neighbor's car. He jumped out of the truck to look for a way to get around the car, but forgot to put on the parking brake.
Oh!
The truck started rolling down the incline. He tried to jump back in the truck to get his right foot on the brake, but he lost his footing and slipped. The truck stopped just short of his left leg, but not before the tire rolled over the cuff of his pants, pinning him on the ground in the rain and in the dark. Can you imagine? I can just see this guy.
He must have been cursing us.
Faced with a choice between dropping trow and yelling for help, he opted to yell for help. All this time, his dog... There's a dog in the story, too. His dog, a black and white Boston Terrier, had moved into the driver's seat and is looking down at him, wondering, what the hell is he doing?
He's more wondering, what am I going to get my dinner?
The neighbor finally came out and drove the truck off his pant leg and freed him. He revved the engine up to 3,500 RPM, let out the clutch slowly, and went to get his milkshake. Perhaps you really can't teach an old dog a new trick. Sincerely, John Carroll.
Well, John, we tried.
We did try. Well, I mean,
I wouldn't give up on Steve yet. It was his first try.
But now he's got,
with the pant leg pinned under the tie. It was all a bad omen.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you've got a question about your clutching technique or anything about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. I don't think John will be calling back anytime soon. So, hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter.
Hi, Peter. Where are you from?
I'm from about a mile down the road in Somerville.
Somerville, really?
I was walking through Harvard Square one day, and I happen to look in the window of a bookstore, and I see a book. You're probably the author of this book. I see a book, the title of which is Waiting for the Messiah in Somerville, Massachusetts. And I thought, now there's a title for you.
Indeed.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Do you think he or she would come here first, to Somerville? That's not exactly the place I would pick to come from.
Well, I mean, that's why I thought it was such an interesting title.
Go ahead,
so
Peter.
So what's up, Peter?
Okay, an interesting thing, my trunk stopped shutting the other day, but I convinced my roommate, who's rather short, to climb into the trunk, and from the inside, he was able to manually engage the lock and to shut it. The only problem with that was that once he was inside the trunk, he couldn't get out.
You convinced him, huh?
Did he consider that possibility when he climbed in?
You know, You probably think he would, given the fact that he's a PhD student at MIT studying mechanical engineering.
Oh, no, if he's a PhD candidate at MIT, I wouldn't expect
No, in fact, he had that supreme confidence that no mechanism as simple as a trunk latch could possibly keep him in that trunk.
A PhD candidate.
No matter what.
Especially given the fact that it's the mechanical engineering department.
Right, exactly.
But it was pretty interesting. I mean, this happened right on Mass Ave in Cambridge, and I was giving him instructions from the outside, and all of a sudden about 15, 20 people started gathering around me, and I was confused at first as to why all these eyes were on me.
They thought you were talking to the car.
Until they realized that I was actually talking to the trunk.
Yeah.
So
now what?
So we got a spare key, which we had at home. We ran home, we got a spare key, opened up the trunk, and got him out of the trunk. So that's not a problem. But the problem...
Oh, so he was in there for quite some time.
He was in there for about 10 minutes, yeah.
That's...
The problem is, though, that we still can't actually...
Did he have the key in his pocket? Is that why you have to go home and get the spare key?
That's right. He had the key in his pocket.
PhD... What department, M.E.?
Mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
At MIT, yes.
Boy, oh boy.
Yes.
Talk to the officer. Yeah. Who's the chair of that department? Is this your department too, Pete?
No, I'm actually at Harvard.
At Harvard.
Ah, see, that's good. Yeah. You look good now, don't you?
That's right.
History?
You say, I may be talking to a car, but I'm not stupid enough to be locked in the trunk.
And therein lies the difference.
Therein lies the difference.
So the issue still is that we can't get the trunk to shut from the outside. And right now, the mechanical engineer roommate of mine came up with a solution that we can shut the trunk with duct tape, which I probably could have been able to figure out on my own.
I think so.
and I didn't need him to tell me that.
Well, I mean, he knows what he did to lock it.
Yeah, he actuated the latch.
Yes.
Yeah, and you need a new latch.
Yes, okay.
You could go to the junkyard, and you could buy a new latch and have your mechanically inclined roommate install this thing.
Yeah, right.
I would advise you to fix it for the simple reason that the
spare tire is in there.
Well, not only that, but it would be nice to be able to open it, but it's especially important that it's closed and airtight because it is one of the areas where fumes will get into the car and stupefy you.
Mm.
So if nothing else, you want to close it up for that reason.
Yeah, and you certainly don't want that to happen to your roommate.
Right.
And if you have to do it with duct tape, that's okay. Because at least it will make the thing closed up enough so that exhaust fumes will not be able to get into the trunk area and, of course, then into the passenger compartment.
Okay.
Where they would make you drunk, intoxicated, and you'd crash.
Use this as a test. Why don't you go down to Nissenbaum's, which is right up the street from you. You know where it is, on Columbia Street.
Yep.
And get yourself a latch and hand it to your buddy and say, here, just check to see how long it will take him to install it.
Well, see how long it takes, first of all, before he recognizes what it is.
Yeah. We'll check the flat rate book to see how much time a dealer would get. It's probably 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, this is 0.5 hours.
It's 0.5 hours on the flat rate book. And I would say 0.5 days. Is what it's gonna take your buddy.
Okay.
Seriously, find out and call us back.
Okay.
Because we do have this question about whether MIT graduates are able to do anything.
I'll perform that test for you and give you a call back.
Great. Thanks
See
for calling,
Peter.
All right. Great.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Grace from Pleasanton, California.
How you doing?
Hi, Grace.
I'm fine.
So what's up, Gracie?
I've got this Toyota Tercel. It's a 1987, and it's an automatic. It's just dripping oil all over the place, and it's time for me to take it in, I'm sure, but I want to have a little bit more information than just, hey, guy, my car is dripping oil.
Well, how long has it been dripping oil, like a year or two?
Just recently, the past 3 weeks.
Well, it's not too bad.
And have you been keeping an eye on the oil level to make sure you don't run out of oil and therefore destroy the engine?
Yes, definitely.
And how much oil have you had to replace?
A couple of bottles.
They're still selling bottles out there in California.
Do you deliver it to your house in the morning in a little truck with a horse? A couple of bottles over what period of time or how many miles?
I put one in last Saturday, and then I had to put one in the Saturday before.
And how much did you drive in that week?
Probably about 100, maybe 110.
Oh, you got troubles.
I don't drive far, and it sits a lot. The car just sits.
Yeah. And does it leak? Whether it sits or it's driven, in other words, if you were to let it sit in the same spot for days and days, would the stain on the ground get bigger and bigger and bigger?
That's funny, because it does not.
Good.
That's all right. That's an acceptable answer.
Okay. No.
You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed about that answer, Grace.
Grace,
it's a perfectly good answer.
What's your budget? What can you afford? Because that will determine the answer we give you.
Yeah. I mean, you're driving a 25-year-old car here.
No.
So, I mean, is your budget more like $50 or is it up to, say, $500?
Because
I have answers for all of those, you know, and everything in between.
Well, I could probably afford, you know, maybe $500, yeah.
$500.
Oh, you could.
Really?
Then we can give you the real answers.
Well, we can give you all the answers there. I mean, the most likely thing for it to be on this car is something called the oil pressure switch.
The OPSU.
Uh-huh.
And that device is what's responsible for turning the idiot light on the dashboard to alert you when you've run out of oil.
Right.
And it's a metal and plastic switch which has pressure behind it when the engine is running. And when the bond between the metal and the plastic gives out after like 13 years, it will leak oil. And it'll leak oil pretty fast because there's pressure behind it.
Uh-huh.
And it'll leak out much, much faster, of course, when you're driving.
I see.
And it won't leak at all, hardly, when you're stopped.
Okay, because that's what's going on.
I mean, that's a possibility.
On this car, it's located right behind the alternator.
Uh-huh.
So if you know where your alternator is, you can look at this thing, and you might even see oil just pouring right out of it.
Is this fixable?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's very
not
fixable.
Only fixable, but cheap as dirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's the $50 solution.
Fantastic.
Now, the other possibilities
is
are...
Is it blew a rear main seal?
Is your rear main seal is blown, or the front seal, or the oil pump, or the oil pan is leaking, there's a gash in the oil pan. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, those are all the $500 ones.
The head gasket is leaking oil. Any one of those things could be wrong. And they're all pretty expensive.
Uh-huh.
So you have to really hope for the $50 solution because everything else starts to get expensive.
And it's the sort of thing that if you take it to your mechanic, he's going to be able to figure it out probably easily.
Oh, good.
Especially if you suggest, say, gee, somebody told me that my oil switch might be leaking.
All right.
I would make that post-hypnotic suggestion. Because if you suggest that, first of all, it's going to steer him toward that.
All right.
And he'll stick his hand right on it and say, my God, it's floating in oil here.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does take away the option of spending a lot of your money.
Right.
When you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Right. He's not going to try to sell you the rear main seal for $500.
Great.
Because you know what the oil pressure sending unit is. And that's going to be,
Write it down, Grace, so you don't forget.
Oil pressure sending unit.
All right.
See you, Grace.
Write it in Latin. Really screw them up.
All right. Thank you so much, car guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Grace.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. My name's Ed from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, Ed.
Hi, Ed.
How you guys doing?
All right. I'm working on Minneapolis right now. M-I-N-N-I-N-N-N-O-I-S. Okay. I-S. What's happening, Ed?
Well, you know, guys, I was on my way in, and it was one of those crummy days, you know, where it's throwing up spray.
Yep.
And I ran out of wiper fluid.
Yeah. Aha. Bummer.
Okay. Well, you know, and so I was peering through the windshield. But anyway, I whipped into the gas station. I hadn't had my latte yet in the morning. And bought a can of wiper fluid and put a whole gallon of wiper fluid in my reservoir tank.
Yeah, for the radiator.
You're right.
Yes!
How did you guess?
Oh, hence the comment about the latte.
Yeah. Oh, so, boy.
What I did was, as soon as I got into the store, I pulled off the hose so it wouldn't suck it back in up as it closed, you know, as it cooled.
Cool. Excellent. Good thinking.
But, you know, I'm wondering, should I have the radiator flushed and new set cooling put in? Or
well, I mean,
what
probably,
do I do?
Was the engine already heated up when you got to the store?
Oh, yeah. It was hot when I put the stuff in.
Yeah. So
none of it made its way back
into
the radiator.
It never got sucked in. And even if it did, it wouldn't be worth worrying about.
No, because as we know, that stuff is mostly water.
And alcohol.
It's mostly blue water, and it's a little bit of alcohol, and that's it.
Okay.
But you didn't do any harm to anything, and you could, if you wanted to, you could flush out the cooling system, but I don't think it's necessary, because the alcohol will mix in with the ethylene glycol, that half a percent of alcohol that's in there, and there's a little soap, I suppose.
The soap is the only problem, because it might start frothing up, so if you see bubbles coming out of anything...
Right. If your tailpipe starts blowing bubbles, I'd be concerned.
So all I got to do is just somehow suck the stuff out.
Well, you can yank that bottle right out. What kind of a car is it?
No,
it's
'93
Dodge Caravan.
'93 Dodge. I think there are a couple of bolts that hold that in.
Yep.
And you can take those out and take the thing in the house and wash it out and fill it up again. And this time put antifreeze in it.
Well, actually, I was going to suggest a clever repositioning of hoses.
Just
leave the stuff right where it is.
See, you would do that.
That's a little bit too much.
Ed, don't listen to him, ever.
No, that thing comes right out. Dump it out.
But don't worry about a thing, Ed.
Okay.
Won't do any harm.
Thank you very much, guys.
See you later, Ed.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
I do, as a matter of fact. I remember that it had to do with cutting a pan of brownies in half.
That's right. Very good. Did you figure out the answer?
No, but I think I gained 5 pounds this week working on it.
Anyway, we'll be back with the answer to last week's brownie cutting puzzler and more of your questions for us in just a minute, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Driving down the street one night, just the girls and me. We cruise the town so many times, it's the hardest place to be. A car pulls up beside us as the red light turns. Revving up his engine, Lord, it sounds like a mean machine. But I took him by surprise with my good old Chevrolet. And when the race was over, he didn't have too much to say. By the look that he was wearing, he changed his attitude. Girls like fast cars too.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our New England Winter Driving Kit. Contains one screwdriver to remove the plates and 2 one-way tickets to Miami. From NPR, NPR member stations, and...
Esurance, an all-state company.
They've got this tool called Coverage Counselor that informs drivers about their car insurance options.
Coverage Counselor?
Yeah, maybe the Coverage Counselor can help us. We need some kind of counselor. Esurance. And...
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price. Invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
the Union of Concerned Scientists, putting science to work for a healthy planet and a safer world. More at UCSUSA.org. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, removing eyesores from driveways, sending cash to NPR stations.
And even though Mayans say, can we get that apocalypse going already, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members. From the Bridgestone Americas Trust Fund, the charitable arm of Bridgestone Americas, whose nearly 5,000 teammates in the state of Tennessee share a passion for excellence. And support comes from South Walton, Florida. The Highway 30A Songwriters Festival showcases a weekend of music on the beach, January 18th, 19th, and 20th, with more than 250 performances from up-and-coming artists and national recording songwriters. Visit southwalton.com.
Thank you.
Lipscomb University's Institute for Conflict Management offers training in the skills of collaboration to help minimize the costs of unresolved conflict. Growing out of the internationally recognized dispute resolution work of Dr. Randy Lowry, the Institute is dedicated to the advancement of conflict management disciplines, preparing leaders to manage, consult, and mediate in difficult moments. Graduate courses begin January 18th. Applications are available online at icm.lipscomb.edu.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was a mathematical puzzler, and it went like this. My neighbor Joan had baked some brownies for her two little grandsons in one of those rectangular, you know, Pyrex baking
pans. Is this a real person, your neighbor Joan?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what size it was, and it doesn't really matter. And because the kids were really competitive, she knew she had to divide the brownies exactly in half, which is pretty easy to do when you've got a rectangular pan. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure.
So she takes the brownies out and puts them on the cooling rack, but before she gets to cut them in half, her husband comes along, and just to bust them, so to speak, cuts a rectangular piece out of the middle someplace, at some random location in the cake. He wasn't even nice enough to cut it out of a corner. He just made a rectangle in the middle someplace with a knife and lifted it out and ate it. You know what I mean?
You get it. So now I got a rectangular, huge brownie with a little rectangle missing from the middle of it somewhere.
Right, and none of the sides of the little missing rectangle were parallel to any of the other sides, you know. So
of course, just, that would be too simple.
So just chunk, just like he dropped it out of the sky. The knife.
Got it.
Anyway, she comes along and says, "Oh, you no good. Why did you do this?" He says, well, chewing and licking his fingers, "I don't like crusts," he said. "I wouldn't cut a piece out of the corner. I had to cut it from the middle." She says, "Well, now I'm going to have to cut it in half. And how am I going to do that?" And he says, "I guess you'll just have to bake another one and I'll eat this one." Anyway, a few minutes later, after she lists most of his prized possessions on eBay, she gets on the phone with one of her girlfriends, and her girlfriend, who just happens to be a mathematician, says, "Oh, I have a remedy for this." And Joan asks, "Does it involve rat poison or itching powder?" No, the girlfriend says, "You can cut this cake in half using one cut of the knife, one straight line." "Really?" said Joan. "In fact," the girlfriend says, "I have two ways to do it. There's a hard way and an easy way."
Oh.
Joan says, "Give me both ways." So the question was, what are the two ways to cut the cake in half with a rectangular piece missing from it?
Go ahead.
Using one cut of the knife in one straight line.
Mm-hmm.
The hard way is to take your knife and, holding it parallel to the cooling rack that the thing is sitting on, slice the cake that way. Right? That is certain.
That was Dougie's answer.
So you're going to make your cut parallel to the table.
So you're going to have one kid's going to get the top half of the
brownie,
and the other kid's going to get the bottom half. I don't like that solution because the top half and the bottom half are not equal
in terms, right?
And they may be equal in area, but they may not be equal in terms of delectability.
Well, here's the other solution.
It better be better.
If you take a rectangle. How would you find the center of a rectangle? I would draw
diagonals,
and you would find the center.
That's easy.
Okay. And you will admit that either one of those diagonals cuts the rectangle in half.
Sure.
But what you don't know, probably, is that any line drawn through the center that's not a diagonal also cuts the rectangle in half.
Sure.
You accept that?
I'll accept that, too.
Will you accept that any line drawn through the center of the hole that is a rectangle will divide that in half?
Sure, I'll buy that, too.
So if you were to draw a line through the center of the big rectangle, and it went through the center of the hole, then you would cut the thing in exactly two pieces,
so,
which were equal.
So what I want to do is find the center of the little rectangle that her husband cut out.
Right.
I can do that by making two diagonals, and where they intersect is the center of that little thing.
Exactly right.
Then I can draw two diagonals for the big piece of the brownie.
And it makes no difference now where, in fact, the other rectangle is. If you connect the two centers
with a straight line.
With a straight line.
And continue it
to
the edges.
One knife cut. Well, straight lines go on forever.
Yeah.
You will have cut the thing in half.
Wow.
I think.
You think? No, that's good.
Who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Christopher Kroll from Westfield, Massachusetts, and for having his answer selected from the dumpster full of correct answers that we got, Chris is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our new music CD, Stairway to Heepdom.
Now, this is a collection of some of our favorite disrespectful car songs,
including the one called Beep, 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 which is about people honking at a guy who stopped at a red light to the tune of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata.
Ah, beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep. I've never heard road rage sound so genteel.
Well, Christopher, a copy of Stairway to Heepdom can be yours for being this week's Puzzler winner.
And look, and if you didn't win, don't go away in a huff, or two and a huff, because we'll have a new Puzzler coming up later in the show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Laura from Santa Barbara. How are you?
Laura.
Hi, Laura from Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara.
I have a special Ford Escort we call the POS model.
Oh, POS. We know what that means.
And it decided that when I put it into, it's an automatic, but when I put it into the gears, like drive, reverse, complicated stuff, it kind of, like if I put it in reverse, it doesn't really go into reverse until a couple seconds later, and it really throws itself into the gear. Ah. But the other day, when what actually prompted me to call you guys is I was at a stop sign, and I accelerated to go, and it didn't want to go from, I guess, probably like first into second, and it jumped all the way and like revved really hard and probably jumped into like third or maybe even fourth, and it really scared me. It kind of stalled out, but then when I pushed the gas, it kind of fixed itself and kept going, but it keeps happening. And so I'm a little afraid. I really hate this car. My ex left it to me. He's not one of my favorite people.
Yeah, you no, think? I mean, what do you expect?
And how
a
long,
Lincoln Continental?
How long have you had this car now, Laura?
Since
your breakup. A year.
Yeah.
Oh, a year. But it's been running fine until recently?
Well, for the most part, I've been really good about changing its oil, and I had to, maybe 3 months ago, I had to put a new battery in it. But really, I've had to do no maintenance because he was a mechanic.
Ah.
So he did all the maintenance. So it's got 93,000 miles on it.
Does your ex still live in the Santa Barbara area? Do you run into him at all?
No, he is. He's in the area.
He's in the area. So there's.
And you do bump into him occasionally?
I walked into his wedding.
He just walks into a wedding.
I swear to God, he got married out in this public courtyard. That's very, like, it's a very famous place that people go, you can't reserve it.
Yeah.
And I was headed to a wine tasting event, and not kidding you at all, I walked through the courtyard, and I looked over, and I was like, after you date a guy for 5 years, you kind of know what he looks like from behind, and you're I think... Yeah, that's him, and he's getting married right
that's
now.
That's Brad, and he's getting married. Oh, my God. So your favorite...
Wait, this is much more interesting than this stupid car.
So you figure he's not responsible for what's happened to this car in your estimation.
No, she's had it for a year.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not in the least. I just was curious, because usually when anything... I've always had other cars, and he's always been the one to say, oh, let me look at it, and he fixes it. But I don't have that freebie anymore. So I thought, you know, you guys are so smart. I should give you guys a call, and maybe you can tell me what it is.
No, we can tell you what it is, but you're not going to like it. Are you sure you don't have, like, one last phone call left to him that he can help you?
No, there's no last phone call.
No, huh? Well,
no.
If you're lucky, you are low on transmission fluid. Because that would explain just about everything that you've explained to us.
Yeah, what's wrong with that as an answer?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that as an answer. And
except that might be wrong.
Yeah, well, if it's wrong and you're not low on transmission fluid,
then
you're going to be low on money because you're going to need to have the transmission rebuilt. Your condition here is symptomatic of a transmission that is searching for fluid.
Do you have any idea when the last time was that you put fluid in? Into it,
or even
looked at it.
Never. That'd be a good answer.
Ah, never. Ah, that's
but you, good. But you say you've had it in for you had the battery replaced.
I
and
had
you
the
had
battery
some...
replaced. Would it be something that they would do like on an oil change?
No.
Okay, then no. I mean, that's all I've ever had done is I had the battery change. And
all
I had
right,
the oil change.
All you got to do is go back to wherever you went and say, "Could you check my automatic transmission fluid for me?"
Oh, okay.
And they'll say, sure.
And if they say, oh, it's down 2 quarts, and they fill it up, you might be fine.
Oh.
If it is down 2 quarts, it means you have a leak. But if they put two quarts of fluid in and then it behaves perfectly, then you can go ahead and find out where the leak is and fix it, and you can keep this car maybe for another 8 or 10 years. Yippee!
You know, that's great.
Well, good luck and try to keep smiling.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Smiling. She's laughing her butt off.
See you, Laura.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, Tom and Ray?
Yeah.
This is Norm. I live in Incline Village, Nevada.
I've been to Incline Village. It's near, like, Reno, right?
Tahoe. On the north shore of Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. As you're leaving California, that's the first town you come to.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let me guess. Let me just guess here. Like, a hill, this town?
Not really.
No.
isn't that where Ben Cartwright lived?
Yeah, he used to live down the street from me.
Anyway, Norm, what's up?
Well, I live in snow country, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, a lot of snow. And I commute to Reno over an 8,900-foot pass every day.
Oh.
And I see a lot of snow.
Yeah, I guess you do.
And I have four cars. And depending on how much it's going to snow, I determine which car I'm going to drive.
Yeah, what do you got for cars?
Well, if it's only going to snow 6 inches or less, I'll drive the Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
Okay, if it snows between 6 inches and 18 inches, I drive the Subaru GL four-wheel drive wagon.
Yeah, good.
And if it's going to snow over 18 inches that night, I'll drive the Suburban, the four-wheel drive Suburban.
Yeah.
But all of them have the same problems. The windshields ice up in these snowstorms, and I drive in 100 snowstorms in the 18 years I've been going over. So the best solution is to reach out the window and slap the wipers.
Right.
I get real good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 minutes you open the window, you slap it, knock the ice off. Well,
so you spend the whole time slapping it.
I'm so good I don't even have to put my coffee down. Just reach out and slap it.
Hey, that's good. You're
a
pro.
The Subaru, something happened to the Subaru wipers a year ago. The switch kind of burnt out. First, the intermittent wiper stopped working. It was always on low. If you turn the heater on, it would stop.
Oh.
And then, whenever you turn the wipers off, it would just stop right in the middle of the windshield, no matter where it was.
Uh-huh.
You'd have to put it back down, stop it on the bottom of the swing.
Yeah.
Well, this is a blessing. Because now, when it's snowing...
Sure, you can stop it right up there.
I can stop it over on the left.
I was wondering how you managed to do the slapping business while the windshield wipers are running.
That's an art.
18 years of practice, I got real good at it.
Yeah.
It's a learning process. You know, at first I used a glove, but then it would grab the glove and take it off, and you have this glove.
Glove going back and forth.
Going back and forth. And then one time, my finger got caught in there, and it started pulling me out. And it ended up cutting my finger, and I had blood on the windshield, and then I had my finger in my mouth trying to keep the blood from getting all over the car.
What do you do for a living, Norm?
I work for the Postal Service.
I was going to say, you must work for FedEx.
You work for the Postal Service. You're a mailman, basically.
No, I work nights. I'm a clerk.
You're a clerk.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to get in there because...
Oh, the mail must go through.
Whether dark of night or snow or sleet or whatever that stuff is.
Oh, yes.
The mail must go through.
Well, okay, my question is, how do I break the other windshield wipers on my other two cars so they'll stop whenever I turn the switch off?
Oh, that might not be too hard to do.
No, all you need to do is put a toggle switch on the dash, which interrupts the ground circuit.
Oh, you could do it that way.
That would be the easy way to do it.
I was thinking of the hard way, which would be to get right to the mechanism that makes it park. Well, I know how to do it.
How?
Turn the key off.
You can turn the key off and lose all power steering, power brakes, and everything else. But... what makes it park is a capacitor.
Well, not all, but yeah.
I think they all have it.
Mm. Jeez.
There has to be a switch that determines that it's at the bottom of the swing and turns itself off.
Well, here's what you do. See, when you turn it off, it's got to still have electricity coming to it to make it park. We call it park.
Right.
So that if it's up at the top of the stroke... It needs electricity to get back down to the bottom. And the way it gets the electricity, I think this is true for most of them, is it has a little capacitor, which is always charged up, and it uses the electricity in the capacitor to make the thing go back down. So if you find the motor someplace, you know where that is.
Yes. Well, where's the capacitor?
The capacitor should be near it.
No,
you don't think so?
No.
Where is it?
Well, I don't know. it's maybe in it.
It might be in it. Yeah.
So
well, call the dealer. If you could call the dealer and find out where the capacitor is, all you got to do is get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
And it'll stop wherever you stop it.
Okay.
You think so?
I think so. I like this.
Well, I'm not so sure they all do this because most of them have a relay now to do this, and there may be circuitry in there that you don't want to mess with.
Another thing you might want to do is, if you really want to get fancy, I mean, why don't you install some kind of a vibrating device on the windshield wiper blade?
Well, how about...
I'll bet you the J.C. Whitney catalog has
an interrupter, a wiper interrupter.
No, a device that vibrates the wiper, so it automatically, boom!
How about this? How about you reach out and fling a handful of salt on the window?
Yeah, you could do that.
Or you could take the wheel weights off of one wheel, so the car just...
Hey, this is a Subaru. It vibrates anyway.
I like the switch idea. I do, actually.
But you might not be able to do that, but I would certainly find whichever wire you can cut that will stop the thing from moving.
And just put a toggle switch in.
And just put a toggle switch in. And if you did that, I think that might be the simplest.
See, but depending on where that capacitor is, if it does still use a capacitor, that might not work because the capacitor is still going to be charged up and it's going to make it want to park.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know.
Let us know who you make out.
If cutting the circuit and putting a toggle switch in works, can we patent it and sell it as an accessory?
No, you can't patent the switch and a piece of wire, unfortunately. because I've tried.
We can try, but I don't think we're going to make...
You'd have to put flashing lights on it or something.
Yeah, we're not going to get rich doing this, Norm.
Oh.
No, and there are only four people in the country that want them.
And I'm one.
And you're two of them.
Yeah.
See you later, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good
luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, it's time to take a short break.
Yeah, I have to collect my thoughts.
You know, you might sound smarter if you collected someone else's thoughts. Ever think about that?
We'll be back in a minute. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from short-selling fruitcake futures from NPR, NPR member stations, and...
WeatherTech, maker of laser-measured all-weather floor liners to help protect a vehicle's floor. Learn more at weathertech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And...
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at trowprice.com.
And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at WTGrantFoundation.org.
And even though the National Mummy Association lobbies for tighter ear-wrapping standards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hunger doesn't care what zip code you live in. Second Harvest Food Bank's Feeding Hope Challenge can provide 10 million meals this holiday season. Information on ways to help fight hunger in Middle Tennessee and provide meals to hungry children, seniors, and families this holiday season is available online at secondharvestmidtn.org. Second Harvest, fighting hunger and feeding hope.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly
now,
wait.
Now, I stole this from somebody.
That's unnecessary. You stole all of them.
No. Nay.
No,
some of them I actually conjured up.
Oh, that's true. And some
were
actually
happened.
Some were given to you.
Some were given. So I didn't.
Yeah.
But I stole this from somebody that stole it from somebody else from some magazine. And I'm just going to repurpose it.
Ah. Okay. Go ahead.
Several months ago, I was at Logan's Airport here in Boston. I go to smell the jet fuel. I don't really fly anyplace. And while I was there, I happened to see in the crowd an old college chum. And I can't remember his name. And as I'm struggling to find his name, he disappears into the crowd.
Wow.
And I say,
I like it already.
I say, gee, I would like to get reacquainted with him. I mean, after all, he was my roommate for 3 years. And I'm sure he'd be interested in getting back the $200 I owe him.
Yeah.
But all I can remember is that he lived in the Midwest someplace. So I run to one of the monitors hanging from the ceiling, and I see there are like 11 flights going to various destinations in the Midwest, you know, like
Worcester,
St. Louis, Muncie, Indiana, Racine, Wisconsin, et cetera, et cetera. And because I can't remember his name, it's hopeless, I think. So I have to think of a way to find him. And in a minute's time, I come up with a plan. And in 2 minutes, I find him.
Great.
How did I? How did I do it?
I have no idea.
I didn't think so.
Wow.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or any piece of ripe fruit. This is the season. There's some real good ripe fruit.
What about fish?
Fish are good, too.
An entire fish.
And mail that thing, too. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Boxster, frozen fish.
You could mail a piece of fish, you know? You could.
you could mail, like, salt cod.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, those guys working at 02238 are going to just love us. They do already,
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the address again, in case you missed it, in case you're writing on your live fish. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma, 02238.
There it is, 02238. All those happy little people.
Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Evie, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge.
E-V-I?
E-V-I-E.
I-E. I wrote it down as I-E-V-I-E.
Yeah, E-V-I-E.
And where'd you say you're from?
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Baton Rouge.
We're with you, Evie. What's that? What's,
okay.
What's happening?
Well, I have an 89 Isuzu pickup. It's just kind of a second vehicle for me. I just use it for running around. I don't drive it that often. But it started to make this shrill noise when I crank up. And it sounds like it might be a belt or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it's a belt.
So when you step on the gas...
Once it warms up, it's kind of okay. But when you first crank it up, it's, like, extremely loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, screeching.
Yeah.
And if you rev it real high, will it go away while it's doing the screeching?
It seems like it does. It's like it's just really embarrassing.
It's a belt.
Yeah, well, do you live far away from people, or is there someone you're waking up with this screeching?
Well, it could be my neighbor, but, you know.
No complaints.
No one cares about him.
It's like she's driving the truck again.
Well, I'm going to suggest you just have the belt tightened.
Okay.
Yeah.
It could be that simple.
I thought about some kind of spray. I saw a belt spray, but I wasn't sure if that would work.
Well, you know, you could try that.
Okay.
Here's a simple thing.
If the belt were loose, then the belt spray is not going to help.
Oh, okay.
Because you're going to have to tighten it up.
Okay.
But if it isn't loose, I mean, belts do, you know, especially since you don't drive this thing all the time.
Right.
It's possible that the belt is dried out and cracked.
Okay.
And in that case, the belt spray or the belt dressing will help. And basically what it is this kind of this sticky compound that you spray on the belt while the engine's running.
Okay.
You got to be careful that the fan doesn't chop your fingers off.
Yeah.
We have a lot of guys at the shop with two or three fingers on one hand. But and they were the belt guys. And thank God we don't use this stuff anymore, because you can't use it on the flat belts that most cars have now.
Okay.
But your car probably has what's called a V-belt.
All right.
And if the belt is not loose, and you can determine that by taking the longest span of the belt, because it was the spot between, in the middle of the two pulleys.
What he's going to tell you to do, you got to do with the engine off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Don't try to
I omitted
this.
That little detail.
Oh, good. I'm glad you tailed me.
So make sure the engine's off.
Okay.
And take the longest span of the belt or belts. You will probably have more than one.
Right.
And push on that belt pretty hard, and it shouldn't move much more than a half an inch without having to put a whole lot of force on it.
Right.
If it moves an inch or more, then the belt's going to be adjusted, and no amount of spray, I wouldn't say no amount, but it might take more than 7 or 8 cans because you'll have to build on the belt. But if the belt is sufficiently tight and it looks like it's cracked or it's glazed, that spray will help because it softens the rubber and gives it more bite on the pulleys.
Okay, great.
And if you ever wanted to really get rid of this thing completely, not the vehicle, the noise, then you might want to buy a new belt.
Okay.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, this is fine. I wouldn't buy a new belt.
Yeah. The good news is you know when the engine's running.
Exactly.
She probably has lots of ways to know that the engine's running.
Actually, it's pretty quiet considering how old it is.
Yeah, not bad, huh? So you use it just for occasional trips.
Yeah, well, like when I want to haul stuff, or I like garage selling and that kind of thing.
Ah.
But it has almost 200,000 miles on it, and it just trucks along.
That's
don't
good.
Do anything extreme. It might not be able to tolerate any new parts.
Well, that's what I don't do too much to it.
See you, Abby.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
I like
her. I do, too. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Patrick calling from Anchor Point, Alaska.
Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
Good, Alaska.
Thanks.
Anchor Point, huh?
Yep. That's between Anchorage and Homer, one town north of Homer on the Kenai Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly
where
it is.
And what are you doing out there, Patrick?
Just try to stay warm and drink enough coffee to stay awake, you know?
Besides that, I mean, are you out there doing some kind of research? Are you just trying to...
Yes, actually, I'm a technician with Department of Fish and Game in the summer season, counting fish and clams and things like that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, anyway, what can we do for you?
Well, what I have is the gas tank of my old car. I had an old Toyota Corolla, an '89 Corolla, that I sold while it was running, and I got stuck with the parts car, despite that I tried to write it into the bill of sale that they have to take both cars or else they owe me more money, you know?
Yeah.
So I got rid of the parts car, but they wouldn't take the gas tank because it still had some gasoline in it. So I was able to cut it out with a Sawzall.
Yeah.
And so now I've got this about 10 gallons of what look and smell like nice, fresh gasoline. I poured it into a 5-gallon bucket. And I wonder, would it work in the snowblower and the lawnmower? Am I not risking too much by trying to use it in there?
Well, try it a little at a time.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would more likely try it in your car.
Oh, yeah, I would,
and
too.
Yeah, because if you put a gallon of this thing in your snowblower,
yeah.
This is a bad time of year to do that. You want your snowblower to be running from now on. You might want to try this in June with the snowblower. But I think if you're going to put questionable gas into something, you ought to put it into a tank where you've really diluted it considerably. So if you have a 20-gallon gas tank in your vehicle, your car, you can safely add a gallon of this or 2 gallons of this to your car.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd put, you know, all of it in any gas tank in a device like a snowblower.
Sure.
Because it could gum up everything, requiring...
Yeah, it could be 50% of what's in there.
Yeah, or 100%.
And that would be bad.
That would be bad.
I guess I didn't tell you, this gas is about 8 years old. Well, I can wait a few months. There'll be a hazardous waste collection at the landfill.
Well, that's it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you could do that.
That's what I would do.
That would be the easy way, but it wouldn't be the cowboy way. I mean,
well, cowboy way, I think it'd make a hell of a nice snow melt on the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
No, you obviously have this in some kind of a container now, right? It's not just sitting out there in the gas tank.
Yeah, it's in the dog's water dish. You know?
It's in the dog's water dish. So you have this in a container, and I think every week, I don't know how much you drive your vehicle.
Yep.
Do you have a vehicle now? Or that you sold the Corolla?
Yep. No, I have a GMC Safari van.
Oh
yeah, well,
I would put a gallon of the stuff in
every once in a while. Yeah, every time you fill up, throw, you burned off a gallon, throw a gallon of this stuff in, I think it'll be fine.
Roll the dice, bundle up the family nice and warm. Take
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not likely to hurt anything.
Great.
And it's better than getting rid of it in any other way. I mean, if you just let it stay and evaporate, we could certainly do that, but that's not good. You can't pour it into anything.
No.
Like the harbor.
Right. I almost made all my money back on the original car.
Really?
Very good.
Well, I bought it for $500.
Uh-huh.
The dealer said, only time I bought one from a dealer, he said, if it blows into a million pieces right out front, the most I'll do for you is give you a shovel to pick up the pieces. I thought, well, that's a nice warranty,
That's a good guy.
But you sold it and got your $500 back.
Most of it, through selling parts over time.
Well, Patrick, it sounds like you're an adventurous kind of guy.
Yeah, try to.
Yeah, well, try some of this gas. I would try it maybe your wife's car first or something like that.
There we go. Great.
See you later, man.
Okay, thanks a lot. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Patty Clockley from College Park, Maryland.
Patty?
Yeah.
With an I?
No.
God love you.
What's up, Patty?
My question is kind of like a holiday relationship car question.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
This is the deal. My boyfriend wants to buy me tires for Christmas.
How nice.
Oh, what a crummy Christmas.
No, I disagree.
Now, wait. Before you go off disagreeing. Or
yeah, don't go off half-cocked here. Let her finish her story. Tires?
Sounds really romantic. I apologize.
Yeah. Are these tires like from Victoria's Secret? No. All right. Go ahead.
I have a Celica. It's a GT. It has really, they're kind of expensive tires, but the money is not the point. I see tires as like, he might as well buy me a mop. I mean, we're dating. We're not married.
There you go. It's not romantic.
A mop.
Yeah. I mean, it's practical. Yeah. But, and I know what? It's like, people are like, well, he's being, he's concerned about your safety and everything. But I can go buy the tires.
Yeah.
Right. What you can't buy is, and tires are an easy way out for him.
That's the other thing, yeah. He's missing the whole
experience.
I mean,
nothing is more agonizing for me than having to buy my wife, for example, a piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
Or a garment. It takes, I could go buy her tires in a New York minute. Yeah, give me four of those P's, 215, 75 R50s, and have them mounted.
Yeah, and just mail them to this address.
Well, I also think it's a testosterone thing, too.
Well, have you discussed this with him? You have. How did the subject come up?
Well,
I love you, dear. How about a nice set of snow tires?
Are they black and skimpy?
So, I mean, how did you react when he brought it up? I mean, did you let him know that you weren't really thrilled about the idea, or did you lie?
No, I told him that I didn't want him to get me tires. And
well, I feel a little uneasy about responding to this because I just bought my wife a set of snow tires.
For her birthday.
For her birthday.
I meant to ask you, how is it sleeping in the car now that winter's here? Is it nippy?
It's nippy, man.
Yeah, the plug-in heater I gave you, is that any good?
No good.
No good, huh?
No, because the battery keeps going dead about 2 a.m.
Oh, you got to hook up the battery charger and plug it into the house.
Yeah, she won't let me use the house electricity.
Well, I think it's terribly unromantic and unimaginative of him to think of buying you tires. And I think you ought to send him off on a mission. You didn't give him a list of any kind?
No, I mean, I think that's part of Christmas, is him using his own inventiveness to find the perfect gift.
See, my idea of gifts is give something that the person would not buy for himself or herself. And if he somehow thinks that your tires need replacement, and if he's been on your case to buy new tires because he is concerned about your safety because they're all bald, and then he says, I'm going to give them to you for Christmas, I think that's a good thing to do, a good, conscientious, loving act.
Oh, I think it stinks. Yeah.
So what would you rather have as a gift, Patty? You got any ideas?
Well, I mean, he knows me. He should be able to find something.
Well, what would thrill you? I mean, what of all the things that you could get that within the price range of a set of tires?
Oh, my goodness.
Give us an idea. What would thrill you? And quite honestly, I have a selfish interest here. I'm trying to figure out what to get for my wife. So what thrills you might thrill her.
Four tires or two? Four. We're talking $500-$600 here.
Yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
We figured, like, we have done some looking. It's going to be, like, $400 or something.
He could, like, get you a trip out of Maryland.
There you go. That's a good idea. A vacation together.
A little vacation. A little ski weekend.
Well, I don't ski anymore, but yeah.
All right. A little, you could go the other direction.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
For $400, I mean, you could go to Miami for a couple of days.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't it?
Let's do that.
Okay.
See, I'm also into experiences rather than things. I don't like to give people things. Anyone can buy things, but they can't buy an experience. And that's what I do.
A trip. There you go.
Go for it. Something
okay.
You can always remember as, that guy I used to go out with. Well, I wonder where he is now.
But if he gives you the tires, you'll remember him for about 50,000 miles.
Good luck, Patty. Let us know how you make out.
Let us know what you get.
Yeah.
See ya.
Did you buy anything for your wife yet?
Well, not yet, no.
I haven't either.
But I have it on good authority that CVS is open late Christmas Eve.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Coeur d'Alene, Ovaltine, Lima Bean, Salad Green, Jimmy Dean, Brewed Caffeine, Dairy Queen, Lean Cuisine, and Melamine, Make the Scene, Lunch Routine, is John Boyce Waller.
Very well done.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Our snowboarding instructor from Sweden is Soren DeKeister. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. Here's Louis Dewey, known to the whiskey-scented Santas in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother, please.
Don't drive like my brother, please.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1250, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we tell you how to get in one more tax deduction before the end of the year.
You're not still trying to claim our producers as dependents, are you?
No. I write them off as gambling losses. I'm talking about donating a car.
Oh, yeah. You know, by donating your car to this station instead of trading it in, you can help support your favorite programs, nail down a deduction for next April, and stop my brother from snooping around your driveway at night.
I was just looking.
To find out how to donate your car, check out the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You can always get there from our website, cartalk.com, and thanks. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com. And
eSurance,
their repair view tool lets drivers see photos of their car's repairs in progress. Hey, sort of like those before and after makeover shows.
Sure, just like that.
eSurance, an Allstate company. And
the Pajamagram Company,
offering matching holiday PJs for the entire family
at pajamagram.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.